Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. We are so excited that you tuned into our Planted Not Buried series. Today's message will help you see that God is with us even when it doesn't seem like it. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
Well, today I am ready to go into the Word of God. Today we are starting part 4 of a series that we are calling Planted Not Buried. And people have been really getting helped by this series. And the reason that I'm super excited about us going deeper into this series today is because we're realizing that the best place for a seed to be sometimes is under. And many of us have ideas in seed form. Our lives are in seed form. Our relationships are in seed form. And the world would tell us if we're under something, like under pressure or undervalued, or we're under different areas in our life that are making us uncomfortable and it feels isolated and dark, like that's the place where you should give up. That's the place that you should stop, that you should say, maybe this isn't God. But what we're finding out through this series is that the place that is dark, that is lonely, and sometimes where the pressure of life is on you, that's the place that God is making you. And if you don't see it right, if you don't envision yourself becoming what God has called you to be, you will despise the place that God has you. But I believe that there are some people in here that have learned through this series that under doesn't mean, help me, under does not mean over. And if you find yourself under pressure, undervalued, under attack. See, some of us have had just attack after attack on our lives, on our relationship, on our marriage, on our faith. And if you feel like you're under attack, I just want to let you know, I'm here to spark your faith today. I'm here to get you encouraged and bring hope to you today that what it looks like is not what it is. What God is trying to work in you is a miracle. And I'm excited about that because as we read in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, which is our anchor scripture for this entire verse, and I want you to look at it. We'll look at it every week of this series. It says, this is the relationship that God wants every believer to have as they mature in relationship with him. And I need to say this very quickly. Where you're at in your relationship with God is okay for today. But it's not okay for the rest of your time with God. And what ends up happening, a lot of people, we get saved and we're doing better. And we think like, that's okay, I'm good. Hell's nowhere in the picture. Okay, I'm not cussing everybody out, like just three people. Like, come on, let's be honest. I'm not sinning all the time. I'm just like, and I want you to know there's a maturity that God wants to develop in you so that you can have, everybody say fruit. Have you ever eaten a fruit that wasn't done? You don't say, oh, it was almost done. You say it was rotten. You discount everything about it because you ate it prematurely. And there's many people out here that have not stayed planted long enough that God could mature in you the fruit, the character, the humility, the things that when they people come in contact with you, that they eat from you, that they won't say that you're rotten, that they'll see, taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't know about you, but when a fruit is good, like when it's juicy and it's just like sweet, and I mean, you wanna like you'll pick up, you'll get the juice off of something. The question is, are we going to be believers that people want to come back and interact with? Or would we be believers that they're like, I talked to them before. I did business with them before. I watched their kids. Let's be honest. And so everybody say, we have to mature. And I'm thankful that there is grace to this thing, that God is not into perfection, but he's into progression. And so wherever you are, it's okay. We just got to know that right here is not the destination. Like praying for 2 minutes right now. I'm glad you weren't praying at all last year. You're praying for 2 minutes now. But don't be like, I pray for 2 minutes. Like, don't get stuck here. Maybe we're moving to 5 minutes. Maybe God's going to challenge us to fast one day. Like, you got to know everybody we're going to progress. And as we progress, this is a picture that David gives us of our relationship with God. It says, they are like trees planted. Everybody say planted. Planted. Along the riverbanks, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither. and they are prosperous in all they do. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. So we're in our process to do that. And so if you're under anything right now, we're gonna give you some keys to how you can be planted and stay under. Because a seed can't uproot before its time. And too many of us are uprooting because we're sick of being under. Can we be honest in here? We're hot. How many people are under some stuff that they just sick of being under? Okay, that's almost everybody in the room. Somebody's like, I'm sick of being under you, Bill. That's your husband, stop. Okay. But for real, we're sick of being under some stuff. And last week we talked about what to do when we're under fire. And this week we're gonna take a step further and we're gonna talk in a message that I think is gonna help a lot of people in this room. Today, the title of the message is Planted and Underfunded. Yep. Planted and Underfunded. See, many people make excuses for what God wants to do through them because they don't have the resources to do it. And many of us in this room right now are underfunded in some way. Some of us, it's different for some of us. Some of us don't have a good paying job and we feel like we're underfunded. Others of us in this room, in our personal life or our business or our career, we feel like we've made some unwise financial decisions and now it's affecting what we can do right now. There's other people in here who are paying for past mistakes they've made. There are other people in here paying their way through college. And there's other people in here paying back their way through college. Sally Mae, get off my bag. Some people in this room come from a poverty background, and those mindsets and ideas have gotten planted and become cycles in your mind. And for other people, I want everybody to hear this very clearly, because when I said underfunded, there are some people in here who may be living well off financially and all this other stuff. It's like, oh, this was not the message for me. Listen, some of you are well off personally, but you don't have the resources to do what God's called you to do. So maybe your house and your bills and all that stuff is taken care of, but God's put a $10 million organization in your heart. And you're at the starting line because you don't believe that God can come through and do something bigger than what your finances can do. Today, I want to encourage every person's faith in this room, because y'all know I don't preach nothing that I'm not walking through personally. God told me, Michael, what are you going to do when I call you to something and you don't have the resources to do it? Are you going to stop and stay here and say, I coulda, woulda, shoulda? Or are you going to step out in faith and be able to be planted and underfunded? And there's many of you right now who have let the vision and the dream that God has placed in you die because you said, I don't have enough. You've stopped even talking about the thing that God placed in your heart. Matter of fact, some of y'all won't even dream no more. All you do is look at the facts because that's what I know is true and that's what I'm going to do. But do you know the God that we serve? And today I want to spark somebody's faith to get off the sidelines of life and to get out of your own bank account. Because it's empty in there. Or even if it's not empty, there's just enough. And isn't it funny that when there's just enough, we start playing it safe. When there's just enough, we start becoming our own provider. When it's just enough, we'll neglect things that God puts emphasis on, like our family, to get more of something that we're gonna run out of at the end of the month anyway. And I wanna challenge every person in here to stay planted, to stay in your word, to stay focused on prayer, to keep giving, to keep sowing, to still be generous when you are underfunded. I know. And everybody's trying to keep a straight face and a tight lip because you're trying to not show everybody how broke you are. But what I'm telling you is finances are relative. It doesn't matter how many zeros you have in the bank. God will always call you to something that is outside of your realm of providing. So if you have $3 million in the bank, God's going to call you to something that costs 30. Because this whole Christian walk is about dependency, not sufficiency. Uh-oh. Like, you want to be self-sufficient and God wants you to be dependent on him. And until we get this, many times the plan that God has called us to, we start telling God we can't because of what we got. There's so many people in here that God's asked to open up a shelter or orphanage or to begin to provide for somebody else. And you say, God, that is great. But these lights, this bill. And God said, if you thought this was about money, you are sadly mistaken. Everything I'm looking for has nothing to do with dollar signs. What I'm looking for is somebody that will have faith. Somebody shout at me, faith.
Faith.
He's looking for faith. And this scripture right here changed my life, and I want it to change yours. Look at Luke 18, 8. Now, out of everything that Christ could be looking for when he comes back, I want you to see what he's looking for. Be part of this scripture says, but when the Son of Man, that's Jesus, returns, yeah, how many will he find on the earth who have funds? Oh, no, Pastor Mike. No, we got to have funds. Because if we have funds, then we'll be able to do everything. No, no, no. That's not what the scripture says. He says the money is never a problem. The resource is never the problem. I'm looking for somebody who has, shout it out at me, faith. And many of our faith this week, and today I'm coming to give you, what's the thing called when you put them on life support and then you say, clear. Poof. What is that called? Shock. Defibrillator. I'm about to shock you today in your faith. I haven't studied all my medical terms for the service. But some of you are on life support in your faith. And you're barely breathing. And if it doesn't make complete sense, dollars and cents, then God, I can't obey you. But did Noah have everything worked out before he started building the ark? Like, I just have to be convinced that God challenges our faith by putting us in situations where we're underfunded, and he calls us to that so that he can be glorified. Yeah. I have to be convinced. Look at it. Being underfunded, write this down, is fertilizer for your faith. Being underfunded is fertilizer. It's the thing that's actually going to make your faith grow. I can imagine right now Noah sitting there and saying to God, you want me to build what? A ark, like a big boat. Okay, first off, I don't have a wood mill. Where are the supplies coming from? I don't have a working crew. Animals, I'm scared of the animals you're calling me to round up. Like how do I start a zoo and build this boat? Like literally a zoo, two of every animal. How do I do that? God didn't ask him to figure out how he was going to be provided for. He asked him, could he do it through him? And this is the challenge for all of us. We have to obey even if we don't know what's going to happen in the outcome. And many of us are so worried about looking crazy. And what are they going to say? And what if I lose? And God's saying, you forgot who I am. I'm the same God that got you from where you were to where you are now. I'm the same God that stood with Moses and Abraham and David. I'm that same God, the same God that you praise and worship. And I'm that same God. Yes. And many of us in this room have to learn how to, you know what? I'm not going to die at this point. I'm not going to die when God gives me a vision bigger than my bank account. I'm not going to die. God's been telling some of you that you are going to end the poverty in your family, that you're going to be able to pay off debts and help people and all that other stuff. And you're saying, how can that happen? And I can't take care of my debts. And God says, I didn't ask you to have the solution. I asked you to have the faith. And church, I know some of y'all in this room are like, but Pastor, I've believed before. I've given before. I've tried before. Remember their seed, time, and harvest. And could it be that some of us have given up our faith too quickly to believe that God is working this thing out, and this place that I'm at that feels hard and I feel the pressure and I'm under debt and I'm under, maybe this is the fertilizer that God is going to use to increase my faith, and he's going to work a miracle out of this entire situation. If you believe it, can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Yeah. I know I got a little convincing to go because some of us are just broke-minded. We've seen so much loss. We've seen so much of our hope not met by the things that we thought was going to happen that we stopped believing. But what I want to help you understand is that you either have two ways of living. And we're going to play a little game right now. And we're not going to do it out loud because I don't want anybody to judge anybody in their process. But in your mind, we're going to play a game called Which One Do You Trust? Okay? And in your mind, I'm going to give you two options. And I want you to circle in your mind, because people will judge your process. They'll be like, she ain't got faith for that. And then in another instance, they don't have faith for something. We don't need to judge anybody's process. I just want us to be able to look. And I need you to be honest with yourself, because God cannot bless who you pretend to be. He only can bless who you really are. I say that almost every Sunday because it makes it very real to you. I need you to be honest. Which do you trust? Do you trust facts or do you trust faith? Circle one in your mind. Because some of us, if it's not blah, 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 then we can't go with it. But the Bible tells us that we should walk by faith and not by ouch. Let me ask you another one, okay? Do you trust in resource or source? Now, some of us are saying, what's the difference? Your job is a resource. And some of us will die to keep our job, but will not do anything to keep connection with God.
Come on.
I need to ask you. Because if you're tied up in the resource, when the resource goes away, that's why you get people jumping off of buildings when the Dow Jones crashed in 2008 and all that stuff. People were killing themselves because their resource failed them. But my God shall supply. Oh, I need somebody to hear me say this right now. I don't trust in the resource. Thank God for whatever company you work for. Thank God for the business. But if that folds, I'll still be okay. See, somebody needs to hear this today because we're so stressed and worried. And what if the account doesn't come through? And what if they leave me? And what if they, so? That is just a resource. My 401k and my pension plan and all this other stuff. So? Like, if God allowed the children of Israel to be resourced every day, like literally they would wake up, I'm hungry. Oh my God, food from the sky. What's it called? Manna. What does that mean? What is it? I don't know. It literally means, what is it? But we are nourished and there's no kitchen. What everybody thinks we need to eat is not here, but we still eating. You have to trust the source, not the resource. And these are the thinking and the idea that get us stuck from pursuing and going after what God has called us, because it's going to be bigger than you. It's almost like God always makes something that he wants you to do outside of your reach. And sometimes I'd be asking God, why wouldn't you just make me be able to do this? Like pastor a church, like why didn't you send me to school to be a pastor? Why didn't you give me, like, why didn't you do all of these things? He said, because I want you dependent on me. Like my strength works best in your weakness. So the place that should be a place of burial, the place where we're so stressed out and we don't know what to do, may be the exact place that God has planted us so that he can get glory out of our lives. One more. Just answer it in your head. Which do you trust, money or God? Bible tells us very clearly you can't serve both of those. Because you'll love one and hate the other. And money's not bad. I need everybody to hear me say that. Money is not bad. But what it can do to our heart. Let me be honest. Some of y'all pray only because you have a need. If God met all of your needs, you wouldn't even pray. So people say stuff like this. Either God will come through or I need some money. Even if I have money, I still need God to come through. Yes. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why I need everybody to understand money can't solve everything, because if it could, why would people be jumping out of buildings, medicating themselves, and dying of suicide with $50 million in the bank? See, those things are all external. What God's trying to do is let you know that whatever situation you're in right now, no matter how much debt, no matter how much money you have, no matter how you are trying to steward over what God's given you, he does not want you to die and be buried in a place that he has called you to be planted. He's always gonna give you a vision bigger than you. He's always gonna put you in a place where you're gonna have to trust him. He's always gonna allow you to not have everything you need so you can call on him. And when you do that, God will take people who are planted and underfunded, and he will work miracles through their life. Can I get somebody to give God a shout of praise? Some of y'all still don't believe me, so go to Philippians 4:19. It says, but my God, somebody say, my God. Now, this is a key component to this scripture, because a lot of people quote this, but he's not their God. Like, you're trying to get in on the benefit and you haven't committed. Can we be honest? Has anybody ever had a landlord? Like at an apartment complex, a landlord? The thing that I found about a landlord is that if you stay in a property that they own, when anything breaks, the lord of the land is obligated to fix whatever is wrong. Come on. And many people have made Christ Savior, but he hasn't been Lord. And this is what ends up happening. When you don't allow him to be your Savior and your Lord, then you have to provide for yourself when things start breaking, when you don't have enough. But when he's your Lord, you can stand and you can quote this scripture in Philippians and say, but my God. No, you ain't even say it right. Say it with some attitude, but my God. So listen, see, when you know who your Lord is, When you know who owns everything on this planet, you can say, I know what that bill says, but my God shall supply all. Did I say some? Oh, did I say a few? Oh, he shall supply all your need. This part trips me out, because I thought it was according to what he had given me. I thought it was according to the family he put me in. I thought it was according into the pedigree that I got raised in. It says, he shall supply all your needs. This ain't even about you no more. I'm gonna supply your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I need somebody to hear me say this to you. Like you're underfunded, but you have a Lord, a God that's yours, who knows how to fix the finances, that who knows the partners you need, who knows what is he's calling you for, and you just need, everybody shout at me, the faith. The faith. If you get the faith, he'll supply everything you need. And I know. Pastor, it's hard. It's hard to trust God with a little. It's hard to trust God when it feels like not enough. And the truth about it is, some of us have had more than enough. We've just been poor stewards. Come on, let's be honest. God tells you to start saving for something, and a sale comes. God, if you didn't want me to buy this, why did you show it to me? Come on, anybody pray some dumb prayers like that? God, if you didn't want this, why would you expose me to it? Because the greatest thing he gave you was choice. And he puts things in front of you sometimes to see where your maturity is. A mature adult knows that if they have children, like, I'm not picking this thing that I could get that would not benefit me the same way as me getting food and diapers for my children. Like, it's just a mature decision. And many of us have been eating our seed. Many of us, God has been giving us something and preparing for something. We've just been poor stewards. No matter where you are, thank God for his grace. Because if you're in this room today, God is trying to tell you it's not about perfection, it's about progression. I want you to start from here. Because anytime we talk about finances or being underfunded, people start getting all shrunk back and all this stuff. No, this is to encourage your faith that where you are right now is not a dying position. Where you are right now is, no, I'm just going to live paycheck to paycheck for the rest of my life. No, you don't have to unless that's where your faith is. If you always are going to work for the company and not be able to own the company, or maybe you started one before and it went under and God's saying, I want you to start another one. But this time, I want you to know that I am the provider, not even the people who are coming in. Oh, come on. So I want to show you a story in Luke chapter 9. Go there real fast. And some of you are familiar with the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But I want to take this and I want you to have this movie with me. Of how this may be a little different when it comes to being underfunded and how God works a miracle and some practical things we can take out of this scripture. Luke chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 12. Can I set it up real quick? Jesus is preaching, and this is, most theologians believe, the largest crowd he's ever preached to. It says that he was preaching to 5,000 men, but it actually was 5,000 men plus their wives and children. So this was 20,000 people because, you know, they didn't have television back then, and those men needed to do something, so kids started coming. And so all I'm saying to you is I want you to get the picture of this miracle, because it wasn't just 5,000 men, it was 20,000 people, okay? At least, okay? And so we pick up here, and the disciples are coming on behalf of the people to give a great suggestion to our Lord as he's preaching. Look what they say. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples, how many disciples? I need you to remember that for the very end of this message, okay? 12 disciples came to him, that's Jesus, and said, hey, Jesus, JC, man, you're doing great. I think we need to send the crowds away to the nearby villages and farms so that they can find food and lodging for the night. It's getting late. There is nothing to eat here in this remote place. There's not enough here. But Jesus said, you feed them. Jesus, you crazy boy. No. That's not what I was saying. I was saying that they actually need to go to Chick-fil-A before it closes. They actually need to get up from this place because there's nothing here and they need to go somewhere else. And he says, no. You feed them. Go tell all your homeboys, y'all now have become the catering service. Okay? But like we do, we start to tell God what we have, our limitations. But Jesus, you already know we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's what they answered. And then they got sarcastic with Jesus. Boy, this is crazy. Or are you expecting us to go and buy enough food for the whole crowd? You know we ain't got that type of money. You know we don't have that type of resource. You know that that's far out of our league. We could never open up that business. We could never make a partnership with somebody. God, it was so real that it was funny. How underfunded they were. It said for the crowd was about 5,000 men there. Let me give you this first point. When you're planted and underfunded, don't blame the place for the provision. The disciples, they said, there's nothing to eat here in this remote place. And that's what a lot of us feel like at this job. God can't do it. In the hood I was raised in, God can't do it. Like with the background, with the debt, with the things that I got going on at this place. Not God, I'm in college. How can I start that business and do that? And I'm in this place. And many of us blame our place for what God wants to do in us. And we stay in the same place because we think the place and the provision have to match up for God to do a miracle. That's why so many people trying to move to LA and New York and Atlanta, like, it's better for me there. Hold on. Isn't the same God that's in Atlanta, England, London, isn't he here with you in Tulsa? The disciples forgot that they were not talking about a place to just anyone. They were talking about the place to the provider. I need you to understand, if God is close to you, it doesn't matter where you are. Like, if God is the one directing and leading you, and you're doing Proverbs 3:5, acknowledging God in all your ways, then he will direct your... If he's doing it, you can be anywhere. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? And so many people press pause and stop on the plan of God because they feel that they're in the wrong place. But God is about to show them, like he's trying to show us, as long as you got me with you, we can be anywhere and I can work a miracle. Oh, from that FedEx job, I'll bless you to where you giving your whole paycheck to people at that job. Maybe I got you there to do something completely different. Maybe I got you at that place. I'm underfunded, but God is saying, I will work the miracle at that place. And these disciples, they didn't understand. They're like many of us. But what I found out is I think God is attracted to our deficiencies. I honestly think it arouses him. Like, when we say we don't have enough, God be like, yeah, yep. It's exactly what I wanted to hear. Uh-huh. Watch me work. I love my mama. You better come on. That's my mama right there, my real mama. But I want you to see that I think he's attracted to our deficiencies, because after this moment, where they said, yeah, I think this place is not good enough. Look what Jesus said. He literally ups the ante. Look at verse 13. He said, oh, okay, the place is not good enough? They need to go somewhere else to get the provision? No, you feed them. Hold on. Jesus, we don't have no food. We don't have enough. And now you've taken us from a position of needing food to a position of providing food. You're taking us from a place of needing your help to say, before I meet your need, I want you to meet somebody else's need. Uh-oh. See, we got to be careful, because when we get too close to Jesus, he'll turn our problem and take our problem, and we become the solution to somebody else's same problem. He said, you feed them. And at this moment, what we all would do is make the very obvious even more obvious. Do you know what we have? Absolutely not. Jesus, all we have is a snack pack from Long John Silver's. That's not enough to feed one of us, let alone feed 20,000 people. Use sense, Jesus. What are we freaking gonna do? What do you want? Everybody to have just a microscopic piece of these five loaves? See, we start getting angry because what we have is not even enough for us. And so why would God even ask of us? Why would he even require of us to give a tithe or an offering or to share our time? That's insulting. We don't even have enough to eat as the disciples, and we're your boys. Nobody packed the lunch for us. How could you dare ask us to give to somebody else? Uh-oh. I'm sorry, I'm in your heart right now. I'm just saying what your heart says. They ask for more money. They ask for, come on. You give me this $8 an hour job, this bad boss. I don't know why I'm talking like this. And the very place that we have need, God says, I want you to meet that same area in somebody else's life. And I'm gonna make it so much bigger than you that you know you can't do it without me. So look what happens. Verse 13, but Jesus said, you feed them. But we only have five loaves of bread and two fish, Jesus. Are you expecting us to go buy enough food for the whole crowd? I want you to see this point right here. When you're planted and underfunded, you have to take inventory, even if it's not much. Something that's overlooked in this story is even though it wasn't a lot, they knew how much they had. They said, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we're working with. The thing is, some of our faith is so low for God to work a miracle, we won't even take the time to figure out what we need or what we have. And I need some of us for you to start accounting what you have. God has placed gifts on the inside of you. He's placed connections on the inside of you. He's given you people, but because it's so little. But I want you to remember, God doesn't plant trees. He plants seeds. Despise not the day of small beginning. You don't even put no effort towards it because it's not a lot. But it reminds me of a woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 who was a widowed woman, and all she had was a little bit of oil. And Elijah came to him, and he said, I need you to help me because I'm about to lose my sons. I'm about to lose everything. And Elijah asked her 2 questions, and I want you to see. He said, how may I help you? And the second question he asked her is, what's in your house? I need you to take inventory. And this woman almost missed her opportunity for her miracle because she was like, I have nothing except. And what is that thing that's your except that you've been counting out, that you've been saying is not much, that you didn't go to school for it, that there's not enough, nobody's ever paid you before for it, and all this stuff. And God says, that's all I need. He said, I have nothing except a little jar of oil. And the prophet said, that's all you need. I came to tell you what you got is all you need. Like you have been asking God, well, if you would give me more, I would. And God says, I gave you what you needed. Because from this underfunded position, I'm about to work a miracle that allows everybody to see that I am Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I'm your God. I'm the way maker. I'm the one that brings it out. But many of us won't even take inventory because it's just a little. And if you're going to see the miracle like that woman saw, can I tell you the end of the story in 2 Kings chapter 4? Because some of y'all going to go back and study it. This woman, whatever she had the faith, the man of God told her to borrow some vessels. Go around and borrow vessels. And whatever she had the faith to borrow, like I don't know if it was 3 vessels, 30 vessels, 300 vessels. But the Bible tells us that whatever she had, everybody say faith.
Faith.
Whatever she had faith for, it said the oil kept pouring. Until the last jar was full, it said the oil only stopped flowing when there was no more vessels. Could I submit to you that God will supply everything that you have faith for? Whatever you have faith, no, you can't go get it after you start pouring. You gotta get it before. You got to, everybody say prepare. That means I have to have faith that God's going to do something right now. Do you know I'm sitting here right now and we need a different building? It's Labor Day and this place is packed. There's no parking. There's all this other stuff. And many of us are walking by sight what we see. But I'm telling you that there's something in me that over this past 3 weeks, I've been closing my eyes and I've been seeing vision. And God said, give me another vessel. And when I close my eyes, I don't see this room. I see an arena. And I see people coming from every walk of life. See, I can't look at you right now. I gotta see it with my eyes closed. I can't pay attention to what everybody's saying, but I gotta see it with my eyes closed. Yes, sight says this ain't enough, but vision says it's more than enough. Ah! And God is about to do something. But hear me, what I see with my eyes closed, I can't pay for. And may I submit to you, if that's just how God wants it. When he stands and does this miracle, it won't be because Pastor Mike was so good or you were so calculated or your annuities were in place and your 401k was so fat. God said, I'll supersede all of that. And I will allow the demand to outweigh the supply, and I will supply all your needs. Oh, this is good. This is good. I want you to see something that I almost missed. We'll go to verse 14. It said, for there were 5,000 men there. Jesus replied to them, tell them to sit down in groups of about 50 each. So the people all sat down. When you're planted and underfunded, I almost missed this. Woo, this is going to help somebody. You have to go ahead and organize overwhelmed. the disciples didn't know what Jesus was about to do. Like sometimes we read the Bible stories and because we know the end, we act like they knew the end while they were going through it. But I want you to picture this. They're still sitting there with one snack pack from Long John Silver's. And somebody's holding it tight and they're really thinking about eating it. Like, you understand what I'm saying? And literally at this moment, Jesus says, yeah, you feed them. Now go tell everybody to sit down in groups of 50. Jesus made them still organized their overwhelmed state and they didn't know the outcome yet. And practically, there are things that are so unorganized in our finances, in our homes, in our lives. And until we hit the lottery, which some of y'all pray for harder for that, God is $250 million. He ain't gonna let you hit the lottery. He wants you to organize everything that's overwhelming you. Sit it down in groups of 50. Get it in columns of my debt and who I owe and what can I pay off. Like, just organize it. He didn't ask you to supply for it. He just asked you to organize it. See, many of us are trying to get to the last step, and he said, I just need you to obey the next step. Yes. So I wonder what the disciples were thinking as they were corralling people to sit down in groups of 50. Hey, y'all. Hey, Jesus, he killing it, ain't it? What I need everybody to do right here is sit down in groups of 50, like just sit down in groups of 50. And then somebody from the back was like, we hungry. About that, we hungry too. And we don't know exactly what's about to happen. We don't know what's next. We don't know how God's going to provide. But I just know this was my last instruction. So I'm not going to not obey because I don't have the outcome. I'm going to go ahead and just follow this next instruction. Like some of y'all's next instruction is go meet with a financial advisor. Like some of your next instruction is to put all your debt on paper. Some of your next instruction is to actually be transparent with your husband and your wife. Your wife don't even know you got $50,000 worth of debt that they got your name on. They don't even know it. You got to know. Some of y'all is like, really, Jimmy? Like, I'm just saying. Like, maybe the next step is not going to give you the outcome, but it's going to lead you to it. And they had to organize it even when they were overwhelmed. Because y'all know this whole thing is about stewardship. This whole thing that God's trying to work in you is just do what's available and right over what I've given you. And these disciples, they're going through. And I know they're struggling. All right, Jesus. They in groups of 50. Now what? Because this snack pack is not about to do nothing. Get the picture. 5 loaves, 2 catfish. Not salmon, catfish. 20,000 people. They were underfunded. They didn't have enough. But look what happened. Verse 14. It said Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up towards heaven, and blessed. He blessed what they had. Okay, when you're planted and underfunded, get what you got blessed. I know that's wrong English, but it feels good. Get what little you got blessed. And see, so many people don't want to give to God or return to God because they say it's too little. You can't afford not to have what you got blessed. Can I be practical? How do you get what you have blessed? You return to God what's his. That's through tithing. And I need to be very clear, because some people, when you start talking about tithing and offering and all that stuff, they get green in the face and they start tightening up. We're not taking no extra offering. We're not doing anything like that. So I need everybody to calm down. We're not doing this because God's trying to do something for Transformation Church. He will provide for this church. This church is going to be fine. What I'm saying is God's trying to do something for you. And many of you have stopped up your blessing because you will not take the little you have and get it blessed. God says, will you please take that $348 that you get every 2 weeks and allow me to bless it? Pastor Mike, how do I bless that? I return 10% of it back to God. And 100% cursed is horrible. Because what ends up happening is a lot of us do not honor God. And we think that our money is going to continue to flow and all that other stuff. I was a witness. I used to do this. And Jesus told us, he said, how can a man rob God of the opportunity to bless him? He can rob him in tithe and offering. He blesses what we return back to him. Let me say it like this. 90% with God's blessing is better than 100% without it. And so many of us, well, it's too little or it's too much. And hear what I'm saying to you. You'll never be able to walk in the full blessing of God financially until you trust him with what you already have. Can I prove it to you? God tells us that our heart, it's a heart issue. It's not a money issue, but our money is attached to our heart. Let me prove it to you. The Bible tells us wherever our treasure is, our heart is also. That's why some people who never checked a stock or a bond before, you put your money there, you're checking it every day. Some of you got shoes on that cost a lot of money. If somebody step on it, you ready to fight. You like, what are you? Because your heart is there. Do you understand what I'm saying? All I'm telling you is when you honor God with the tithe, with 10%. And Pastor Mike, you don't know how hard that will be. It's already been hard and you haven't done it. I dare you to try it. Some people today are going to take a step of faith. You're going to talk to your husband and wife. And I encourage many of you to go back and watch the series we did, Wait Till I Get My Money Right. So many of you took a step of faith and started tithing. And the testimonies that are coming from people's life, because this is what the Bible says. When you tithe, when you honor God, it says that he rebukes the devourer, not for his sake, not for the church's sake, for my sake, so I can walk in the blessing, so I can do that. And I'm telling y'all, this is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. I dare you. Matter of fact, I double dog dare you. And you know when he double dog dare you, you got to do it. I double dog dare you to trust me. And he says, see if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't even have room enough to receive. Some of you are underfunded because you won't trust the source. And these disciples took what they had and got it blessed. Look what happens. When they gave it to Jesus, when they returned their tithe, when they gave, it says, then breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread and fish to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. I need everybody to see, because we get this messed up. Most people think that Jesus prayed for it and then he started distributing it to the people and it just kept coming. I want you to see what happened. Jesus didn't give it to any person. He gave it back to the disciples. So he blessed what they had and he gave it back to them. It was now up to them to be generous enough to give it out. This is where most of us get messed up, because God gives us a job that now we have seed, or God gives us a settlement that we got a little money, or God. And what we do is what I don't want any of you to do, because the disciples, there were probably a few of them that wanted to. When you're planted and underfunded, don't eat your seed. The thing that God gave them, because remember, there wasn't enough for one disciple to eat. Five loaves, two fish. One Peter could have ate that. But he gave enough that all the disciples had something to distribute. There was already a miracle that happened. It already went from enough for one to enough from 12. And what would have happened if they would have eaten it when they were supposed to be giving it? That's why when God tells you to pay for that person's gas that's at the pump next to you, don't eat that seed. And I know y'all know what we do. We'd be like, God, they look fine. That car newer than mine. What are you talking about? No, they need to give me some gas money. Like, we try to size up people. We try to get in people's business and in their banks. And God says, they could be the richest person in the world. I'm not looking for you to figure out why you're doing it. I'm looking for obedience, because it's better than sacrifice. That's when God tells you to give a little extra in offering, or he tells you to go sacrifice your time and help a homeless shelter that can't help you. Or he doesn't tell you to help a homeless shelter, because I hate that everybody makes it like it has to be a sad situation. He tells you to go help your sister that you don't like. That's a sacrifice. But when you do that, when you don't eat your seed, that's what begins to produce the miracle. I can just imagine the disciples as they start giving it out. Take a little. I promise you, if you take more than a little, I'm gonna bust you in your head. You see all these people? Greedy. Take a little. You know what I'm saying? I can see them going down the line, literally telling everybody, take a little. Take a little. God bless you. Take a little. Because when you have a scarce mindset, when you're in fear of running out, you can't be generous. But when it got to the last crumb and the bread multiplied in their hands, they kept coming back to Jesus and there was more. They said, did somebody bring an extra meal? Because since we didn't eat first, y'all got to realize the disciples were hungry. They had needs. You have needs. But God told them to give first. I know. You don't want to give it until yours is met. But maybe yours won't be met until you give it. Can I tell you how dope God is? Check this out. Verse 17. They all ate, I need you to see this, as much as they wanted. No. Now, hold on. Now, y'all know that fool that you get where it's almost insulting if somebody asks you if you want more food. Like you're at a restaurant and they saw everything you ordered and they're like, do you want dessert? And you're like, shut up. You know, you see I'm unbuttoned all my buttons. I cannot eat anymore. I do not want any dessert. 2 chocolate cakes, please. Like, but you know that fool, like it's like, no. No. It said that 20,000 people ate until they were like, no more. It started out as not enough. They started out underfunded. But because people took the time to take inventory of what they had and realized that they were not buried, but they were planted in a situation that was supposed to build their faith. They started to look around and they started to organize the overwhelmed. They didn't eat their seed and they started giving generously. They got it blessed that God allowed a miracle not just to happen to them. He allowed miracle to happen through them. And what is a better testimony than not just to be people who ate when there wasn't enough, but were to be the people that God provided through when there wasn't enough. You get the privilege of knowing that if he did it before, he can do it again. I think Ty said it like this. He's the same God right now, the same God back then. You got to understand that this is what God has for you. And look at the rest of this verse. It says, they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterwards, somebody say afterwards. Afterwards. That's after they had given generously to others. The disciples. Who? The disciples. Remember in the beginning that I told you there was 12 disciples? Remember? Remember that. Now, this can't be coincidence. That the same people that God asked to take on a task to feed 20,000 people and they were underfunded, the 12 people that he said, you feed them. God had to know that he was going to provide for them from the beginning. Yeah. They just had to have the faith to go through the process. Yeah. And look what happened. It says the disciples picked up not 10 baskets. How many baskets? Yeah. How many baskets? Yeah. That means each one had their own basket. There was not enough for one to eat first. And because God did the miracle through them, they get to take home an entire doggy bag for themselves and whoever else they want to share with. And listen, they picked up, the disciples picked up 12 baskets. I love this last word, of leftovers. I think there's a scripture somewhere that says, what's the scripture, Mike? I done forgot it. There it is. My God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, all. Y'all don't hear me. You could ask, think, or imagine. There was a disciple that just thought and imagined, I would love to eat the 5 fish and the 2 loaves. At the end of God working this miracle through him from an underfunded position, he got to take home more than that was even there to start with. I'm coming to challenge your faith today. I feel the presence of God because somebody's getting their faith back to believe that where I'm at right now has nothing to do with what God can do to me and through me. I may be underfunded, but I need you to know under does not mean over. Somebody give God a shout of praise right there. Oh, okay. So I know some of you are gonna have to go home and hear this message over and over and over again because there's been so much lack and defeat. But I came to tell you, if you're underfunded, you don't have enough, maybe that's the exact position God wants you in to perform a miracle that only he can get the glory from. And can I remind you of the God that we serve? Look at Romans 8:32. Because we're talking about money and being resources and being funded. This is how much God thinks of you. Since he did not spare even his own son. We're not even talking about people. We're talking about things that are made up, funds, money, resources. God said, I love y'all so much that I gave my only son. So if he wouldn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Like, this is the same God who saved you that you thinking he gonna call you to a vision that he won't provide for? What? Today you need to know, I don't care who you are, if you're underfunded, stay planted, stay connected to God, because the miracle's on the way. Because it may be the position that God's going to create a miracle. And he's going to allow you to know that under doesn't mean over. Let's give God praise in this place right now. Come on, if you know God is taking you from glory to glory, give him a shout of praise in this place. Yo, hey, I want to pray for you. There's some people in here who feel underfunded. If that's you in any area of your life, this is not for everybody. I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you real quick. Yeah, I feel the presence of God. He came to release faith in this place. And this is not like, let me stand up type of situation. I need your faith to be attached to this. Hands lifted all over this place. Father, I pray for those who are in this room and on watching online right now. Father God, there are people in here, Father, that may be at a disadvantage today, but I thank you that our disadvantage is our advantage with you. Father, you say in your word that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. So, Father God, if it's financial, Father, if it's an emotional, if it's spiritual, Father, wherever we are underfunded, God, I thank you that you're coming in to fill the void. And God, I thank you as we steward over what you've given us, Father, you're going to work a miracle. I believe that you are breaking poverty mentalities, that you are breaking fear of failure, that you are breaking fear of disappointment, that there would be an abundance. Father, I'm talking to kings and priests in the room. I thank you, Father, that you are giving us the ability to produce wealth, and you are giving us the ability to be blessed, to be a blessing. I declare and I believe that Transformation Church will never look at being underfunded as a disadvantage ever again, but we will look at it as our advantage because you will be strong in Jesus' name. Can you give God a shout of praise in this place? Oh, come on. Shout to God in faith. Thank you, Lord. Sit down real fast because there's somebody in here who's never made him Lord. And please, please, if you just give us 3 minutes, you don't have to leave. If you don't have an emergency, please don't leave because this is why we come. Somebody hasn't made him Lord of your life. And so you're underfunded and trying to figure it out all yourself. God took me from being a porn addicted, lying, manipulating, cheating person to the man of God that you see before you, who's not perfect, but who's progressing. See, the beautiful thing about it is many of us want to clean ourselves up. And God said, you don't even have the tools. All you can do is shift around and hide stuff. Y'all know how we do when somebody comes over and we wouldn't explain. We just put all the mess in one room. Try to cover it up with a blanket. It's still there. It's still taking up space. And God says, if you allow me to come in, I'm a God that'll be gentle with you. I know the blueprints to this house. I created it. And I won't bulldoze it. I'll build it room by room. And can I be honest? There's still rooms in my life that God's working on. But it only happens when you invite him in. Today, if you're in this room and Jesus is far from you, you guys don't have a relationship, or maybe you once had a relationship, but it hasn't been close, and you want Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. Today, I want to give you the opportunity to invite him in. If you're in this room and you're saying, Pastor Mike, that's me, I want to make that decision to make Jesus Christ my personal Lord and Savior today. I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith. And I want you to be bold. I don't care who came with you, who's behind you, who's looking, who you know from your past. This is one of those things you have to be clear about in your own self. If you're saying, Pastor Mike, that's me, I want to walk in this relationship with God, I want you to just throw your hands up in the air. Show me right now if that's you. I see you. There's people. Oh, God. Can we give God praise? You can put your hands down. I'm so proud of you. That's what it's all for. And listen, we're a family, so nobody prays alone. Let's pray together. Everybody say, God, I need you. Come into my life and transform me. I'm a sinner. I found my Savior. And today, I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God praise for everybody who just, oh, come on, y'all. Let's give God praise in the building.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening, and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.